take your microphone, please. The microphone. Just push it up. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
There's a reason I'm keeping my face covered. We can discuss that later. I had everything in my head what I had to say. But, oh, here we go. Last week was the 5-year anniversary of when I started coming to this church. It was 1/17 of 2016. Obviously, last week I wasn't going to get up and speak because it was Kempo's time. And I definitely wasn't going to steal that thunder. A lot's happened to me during that 5 years. Anybody here that knows me knows that there's a lot has happened to me. I went from having a decent job to having a rift with my sister, my only family out here, to living in the woods for a couple of years and living all kinds of selfish ways. Got hit by a car a couple times when I was on my bike. Fell off a bridge and made just a whole bunch of selfish decisions. I went to jail 4 times. I went to court about 13 times. During that time, God's been working on me. He was working on me even when I was back in the woods. I would do my thing on weekdays, but I'd make sure I was sober enough to come in here on weekends because I knew this was where the love was. I was really nervous of what to say. And it's funny because God's got a great way of just showing miracles anytime I'm needing it. I was asking him to show me a sign all morning today. How was I going to approach this? How was I going to speak? It's not that I don't have anything to say. It's that I have so much to say that I can't confine it down to just a little bit. I think it's all great because it's all God. Anything good that happens in my life is because of God. Anything I do, it's because God has let it happen. I now have custody of my little girl. I have a great job. I just got transferred to a new job on Thursday. I got reunited with a whole bunch of people that I've worked on other jobs at. And I was just the king of the world for these last few days because it's like I'm seeing everybody I grew up in the trade with since I've been out here. And in the case, like I said, I don't really know where I'm going with this now anymore. But I will say this, that when Savannah came up and showed me a little clay creation that she made, it just set everything right. Because really, the thing that God's done for me is show me how important it is to have relationships with people. And me and my little girl, we have a great relationship now. And I have a good job. Oh yeah, by the way, I I totaled my car on Friday night. I hit a median going 40 miles an hour. Both airbags went off and everything like that. But because of the peace of God that I that is inside me, I just walked into my sister's house and told them what happened. Savannah was crying hysterically. And again, because of the God, the relationships that God has nurtured, the first thing out of her mouth was, "Well, I'm not using my car right now, so you can use my car for since I'm having seizures now." Usually her and her husband talk about things before they make that kind of grand gesture. But she didn't miss a beat. And the thing is there was a point in the not so distant past that she went to revoke my bond so that I would go back to jail, and we had no relationship. But God has renewed that relationship as well. And the reason I have this mask on, by the way, is because if you're going to see me, I want to be able to see you. So if you want to see me, you should come down to my house. This is it. I want to be able to look you in the eye. I want to be able to enjoy a relationship with you. And everybody, and all the people that I know, and I'm starting to fumble now. So I just thank you for letting me speak. And thank you.
Praise God. God is good. And when we commit to Him, He commits to us. And there's nothing like family. Nothing like family. Well, at this time, we've got another family member, a treat. Sister Tara is going to come and break the word for us into some bite-sized chunks, and we're going to have a good time in the word. Amen.
Morning, everyone. This message actually began on the 1st of January, and so I just had this in my heart, and I'm going to jump in, and I hope that it is an encouragement to you. I hope that it's a blessing to you. So I have that first slide up there. It says, "I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you." And as you know, we began 2021 just in this heart of seeking God. You know, last Sunday, Brian mentioned finding God's favorites, right? He talked about his daughter. This is my favorite. And how we need to find God's favorite, or how, well, that God has favorites, that there are things that God finds in, you know, as his favorite. Like, we know that faith is one of those things that is pleasing to God. That's one of the things, that's one of his favorites. And so we should expect him to fulfill his promises. And he, as we are seeking him, he's going to show us. He's going to show us those things that are his favorites. He's going to show us what his promises are. And we can expect him to fulfill those things in our lives. So, you know, the more that we seek God, the more that we spend time with our Father, the more his purposes are deposited in our hearts, the more we're able to make him known to others, the more we're able to be used to make him known to others. So You know, we're not supposed to know people by the flesh. We're not supposed to know things just by the flesh. The one who reveals is the Spirit of God. The one who unveils things is the Spirit of God. And he's made us all unique. One of my life verses is, we are God's workmanship. We've been created. We are a masterpiece created in Christ Jesus. We've been born anew to do good works that he prepared for us. And so this is kind of what I'm going to be talking about. I want to talk about revelation knowledge and how we receive revelation knowledge and what we do with it, right? So, you know, the disciples who followed Jesus, they were drawn to him by his works. They were drawn to him by his words of life. But it's interesting that even after following Christ, after being deputized by him, like, they were able to cast out devils themselves. They were able to heal people themselves. But even after that, they still had to believe and receive, just like we do. I mean, and so we see that Jesus, he asks, well, who do people say that I am? He's presenting a question, and he's going to present them a question that every person has to answer. And that's, the question was, well, who am I to you? And some of you, it's funny, someone already mentioned that this morning. Like, there was a lot of people right on in line with the Spirit this morning, but we have to answer that question: who is Jesus, or who is the Son of God to us personally? So he, you know, the people in Jesus's day, and I think the people in our day too, they saw Jesus as a man. You know, they said, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah. So you can go to the second slide, which is, we want to know the Father. And the thing about knowing something, really, for a believer, that knowledge really needs to be revealed. We can't just know the Father. He has to reveal himself to us. So Jesus asked them, then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. So revelation of who Christ is, is not something that we can just teach our children. I mean, it's not something that we can just argue people into the kingdom. We can't just show some type of physical evidence that God is real and Jesus is his son. In fact, what Peter would go on to learn and what he would say later is that we have to be that living epistle. Like, we're supposed to be the book that other people read. It is us. So, like, back to that first scripture, we're the advertisement. Like, we advertise for Christ, right? Our lives, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we are the advertisement, and we're supposed to be those living epistles. And the thing about it is, it's especially, I think, important for parents. I really believe that family and parenting and, you know, parenting your children, that's the first place of evangelism. Like, that's the first place where we try really to lead. We want to lead our children to the Lord and into relationship with God, relationship with Jesus. And so, you know, it's our honor as parents and our responsibility to display God's love. Like, that's where they're going to see or get to know the Lord first, is through parent or through their parents and how we parent them. And then for our children, you know, you children have a responsibility really just to obey your parents, just to honor. And as you're growing, some of you are, you know, teenagers, honor your parents. Truly, once again, that is how we kind of display or show or advertise for Christ, like right there in our families. And then another just place, and this is for some of our maybe young adults, our teenagers, those of you who are not married yet, you know, the true purpose of marriage is to reveal Christ. Like, that was, and you'll read about that in Ephesians. It says, Ephesians 5:32, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And that was Ephesians 5:32. So once again, marriage is another way that we display Christ, that we show other people that God is real and that Christ was his son. It's kind of starts in our families. And so Paul goes on to, he has a prayer that he has for the Ephesians. And you guys know Pastor Jim always told us, pray this prayer over yourself. You can pray it over yourself. You could pray it over your children. And it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and you can pray this prayer, asking God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. You know, and that's step one. Like, before we can even do anything really to make a difference in this world, we have to know God. We have to know the Father. We have to know his heart. We have to know his favorites. And we have to, and that only comes through prayer, spending time with him, spending time in his word. That's how you get to know him. Spending time in the anointing, listening to anointed ministers, anointed preaching, that's ways to get to know the Father. And, you know, we need our husbands, we need our wives, we need our children. Children, you need your parents. We all need our pastors, our neighbors, we need our leaders to have wisdom and to have revelation of the Father. Like, that is a prayer that we should be bringing back and praying consistently. So, once you know God, once you have accepted the Lord, once you have believed on his son, I would say this is the second most important thing that has to happen, and that is knowing who you are. Like, knowing his calling, like knowing who he made you to be. After knowing Christ, I think this is the most important thing, because you can't be effective as a advertisement for Christ if you don't even know who you are and how he made you and what your gifts are and where you flow and what it is that he designed you to do. And like I said, this message kind of began at the beginning of the year. My sister sent me a book, and I didn't bring it with me, but it's a book about, it was a book about Enneagrams, and we've studied in our church, we studied about temperaments, and this is just another way of looking at your personality. And so, you know, it just looks at your motivation. What motivates you? What causes you? What motivates you to do something? And we're all created different, you know. What things cause you to be afraid? What are your triggers as far as fear? You know that we are all born into a sin nature, right? We have been born into this earth. We, our parents, we're raised hopefully by believing parents, but even our parents are still overcoming the sin nature. They're overcoming the things that are inside them that they learn from their parents, right? So we all have a propensity or a inclination to certain sins or certain failings or certain shortcomings. And the first thing, as soon as Peter had this revelation that came from the Father, the first thing Jesus said to him, he started telling him who he was. That was like the first thing. So this is Matthew 16:18. And I say to you that you are Peter. And in the Greek, that was Petros, a small rock or a detached stone. And on this rock, and he used the Greek word Petra, which is bedrock or a huge rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades or death, will not overpower it by preventing the resurrection of the Christ. And that was from the Amplified Bible. So we see that revelation knowledge comes from the Father. And then he's telling him that that's how the church is going to be built, on this revelation knowledge. And I believe, I remember, I think it was Brother Brian who shared a message about the rock is revelation knowledge. Like, that is how that's how the church is built. That is how the church is established, by God revealing who he is, revealing who Christ is, and then revealing, like, who you are in Christ. And then we start growing as a body, as the church. Receiving revelation knowledge of Christ and allowing him to show you who you are, it's important if you're going to do what you're called to do. And then one of the verses that I started looking at was the Beatitudes. And we always think, and if you're like, Beatitudes, that's in Matthew chapter 5. It was Jesus' sermon. I don't know if it was the Sermon on the Mount, but it was his sermon where he talks about all of these different attitudes. And we always think that we're supposed to have all of those attitudes. And yes, we should. And he talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, he talks about the different attitudes that people have. And I began to think that also, what if, in addition to us having those attitudes, what if people have a propensity to some of these attitudes? And when I say propensity, like, some people, you know, when I thought about Kimpo last week and he was like, I don't know why I cry. I mean, that's just something that's in you. If you are blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And some people have a propensity to, you know, they want to do what's right. They want to know what's right and what's wrong. I don't want to do what's wrong. Like, they just have that right and wrong. And once again, if you have not done or read any books on temperament or personality, like, or revisit those and get those out, and because it'll help you for yourself and it'll help you as a parent to parent your children, because your children have a inclination to feel a certain way or to behave a certain way. And you can see it from the time they're born, I think from the time they're born. I can even remember when Jessica was in the hospital. She was in the hospital at least, you know, several times. The second time that she was in the hospital, I remember one of the nurses telling me, oh, that one, you're gonna, that she, I mean, the nurses recognized that she was very strong-willed, right? Like, they just, I remember them kind of warning me, right? Like, oh. And so, but I also remember when, like, Rachel and Carolyn, I mean, they were very chill babies. I mean, Rachel pretty much came home, slept through the night, like, from the time she came home. So children are born with certain propensities. Adults, we have certain, just our personalities. And I think that in the Beatitudes, there's also just a little glimpse of maybe there's a peek into who you are, that you can look through those and figure out what did God make you to be. So and I just wanted to make a note that we shouldn't sit in the seat of the scoffers, and that's from Psalms chapter 1. And what I mean by that is, if someone is a mourner, I'm not necessarily a person who's quick to cry. I can. There are things that will move me, but I can't sit in the seat of the scornful and be like, why is that person always crying? That's not, God made them that way, and there is a purpose in it, and there is a gift in that. There is a blessing in that. And I'm thankful. I'm very thankful that he did not make us all the same way, you know? And I realize that even my own temperament and personality can appear on the outside like I'm nonchalant, like I don't care, right? Like I don't really care about, it can appear that way. But those who know me know that is not the truth. That's not what's going on underneath at all. Like usually I care very deeply about a lot of things. You know, I just don't, maybe my personality isn't just to focus on one thing, but like just press one of my buttons. Ask my kids. Just press one of my buttons and you'll see like how much I care, right? Like those of you who, I'm a phlegmatic, mostly little sanguine sprinkled in there, but phlegmatics are laid back, easygoing until you push and get to their stubborn side that they won't change. So discover your personality prayerfully. Read books about temperaments or Enneagrams or whatever the Lord leads you. Let the Lord reveal to you who he made you to be. It is so important to know what he's called you to do, and then you're able to go do that thing. And one of the first things I remember, even when I first was filled with the Spirit and started coming here, hustle the Lord, started praying in the Spirit a lot more consistently, one of the first things that God told me was, you know, you're a teacher and you're an encourager. And then I remember him leading me to look at Barnabas in the Bible, who was a disciple who actually helped Paul. Like when Paul was converted, he was originally Saul. When he was converted, the church did not want anything to do with him. They were still scared of him. They were like, he's coming to take us to jail. Like, he's coming to, you know, take us out. And it was Barnabas who came alongside and was like, no, he's been converted. He's a believer now. And it was Barnabas who traveled with him for a season, right, to help bridge that to help bridge him into the family of God, right? So know, if you're going to step out and do what he wants you to do, you have to know who you are and what he made you to be. And this is also important for parents. You guys who have children, you know, you need to know kind of your children's bent, their temperament and their, you know, the way that they respond, because your children will respond to you based on, and that affects them. Like that affects how they grow up. The things that happen to them as children in your household can stay with them forever as an adult. Like you guys know this as adults. The things that happen to us as kids it sticks with us. And, you know, just like I was saying that my kids are all very different, you need to hear from God about how to respond to your child. And it may be different. If you have more than one child, it may be different. It may, if you have a strong-willed challenger, and I guess this is kind of what I was even getting out of the book that I was reading. A lot of times children do things, it's kind of like how they respond to stress or fear. And it may be in the home, or it could be when they go to school, and when they deal with things at school, or however it is. And you may have kids who respond by, well, let me just agree. Let me just try to make everybody happy. Like, let me just be agreeable, right? That's like one way of responding. You may have the challenger in your house that's like, they're just trying to control. I mean, that fear is caught, like, I got to get control of this situation. I'm afraid. I got to get control. I'm going to challenge. And so there's all different kinds of ways that kids can respond. And then I would say to those of us who are children, all of us, your parents have triggers that you may not even know about. Like you are just asking them if you can go to the mall with your friends or whatever. You're just asking a simple question, and you don't know what happened to them when they were a kid and went to the mall, or you don't know what their life was like when they snuck out of the house and weren't where they were supposed to be, you know, and they lied to their parents, and now they're afraid that their kids might do that. No, you can't go to the mall, you know, because they want to, you don't know. And so I would say to children, you have to pray also. You have to forgive. Your parents are people. Our parents, they're just people. We need to pray for them. We need to be patient. And we need to honor their leadership in our life. We need to honor their leadership despite their shortcomings. And I'm going to just, even right now, I'm going to take a moment. We're going to pray for Anitra and her parents. She is honoring her parents right now. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you for Anitra. And we thank you, Father God, for her parents and how she's honoring them. And I thank you for your blessing on their household. And I thank you for help and wholeness in Anitra's family right now. In the name of Jesus. I just had to do that. So, you know, my kids, so you guys know the story. They wanted a dog, and Damon and I were like, no. We had a very valid reason. Dogs are work, they're extra work, they're extra time, and they're extra money. No. And so it took a lot of years and a lot of prayer. Now we have two dogs, and I'm shaking my head. I'm like, how did that happen? If there's something, kids, teenagers, if there's something that you really, really want, and your parents are saying, no, I say, be patient. I say, pray. I say, let your Father God answer your prayer. Because it's certainly okay for you as an adult to get that dog you always wanted and let that dog mess up your house. So there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm just saying that whatever desires you have, there are things that are in me that I still desire. I'm still believing and trusting for. That I know my Father has it for me, and it's just going to be, the waiting is just going to make it all the more beautiful when it manifests, right? Those things that we have, that desire that we have. Continue to pray. Continue to trust and trust him. And also, you know what? That means we have to trust God with the no's. When he says no, when our parents say no, when God says no, we have to trust him. And that's hard. I think that's hard even as adults. Like, you know, we're like, I really wanted that job. That was my job. But you don't know. God, he sees so much farther down the road. He sees so much higher than we do. You don't know what he's protecting you from. You don't know he's keeping you from. You don't even know what he's keeping you from by the no. So we have to, as hard as it is, we have to accept God's no's. And I just put a note here. Our Heavenly Father knows best, which is one of those old shows, Father Knows Best. So continuing Paul's prayer, he says in Ephesians 1:18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. Yeah, see, it's so much greater than me getting what I want. It's so much greater. There's a calling in you. There's a purpose in you. There's something that only you bring in the earth. There are people that only you will reach. You guys have heard this. You know this. Lord, right now, allow our eyes to be open. Allow the eyes of our heart to see, to really see the hope, your hope, the hope of our calling. So, okay, you can move on to, I think I'm on slide 4. So once we have this revelation knowledge, we know Christ, we know who we are, now we're going to start knowing about his power. Because in order to do what you're called to do, you need some ability, right? You need some way to do it, way to get it accomplished. And on this, what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will have been forbidden in heaven. And what you permit on earth will have been permitted in heaven. And that's Matthew 16, verse 19. And when I was thinking about this, I was like, getting keys is a big deal. Holly, you know, right? Like, people who buy houses, getting keys is a big deal. And so, I was wondering, I don't know, I was like, Holly, Brian, have you given keys to your girls? Do they have a key to your house yet? Probably not. I hope not. I don't know. Probably not. Okay, like those of you who are teenagers, where's DJ? All right, you're ready to drive, right? You've taken your driver's ed, you've gone through all the courses. You're ready for those keys, right? Give me the keys. Getting keys is a big deal. Keys grant you access. They give you access to something. And they're given to you in trust. Like, I honestly, even to this day, I'm still like, okay, here's the key to the car. Be careful, please, as you go wherever you're going. Okay? You're given, the keys are given in trust that you're going to use them in the purpose that they're given to you for. Let me read this right. You're going to use the keys the way the person who gave you those keys would use the keys. Like, you're going to be responsible with that vehicle when you get those keys, right? You're not going to speed on the highway or run over things. Or when the day comes that you give your daughters, Brianna and Catherine, when they get keys to the house, you're going to remember to lock the door when you leave. You're not going to leave the house open. It comes with responsibility. So, you know, once Peter, he knew Christ, he knew God had a call on him. Christ revealed that there was power that was available to Peter. And this was in order to fulfill his calling. And in order to do that, he would need access to heaven. And that's what we have as believers. We have access to heaven itself. And I put a note that it's not carte blanche, which is, carte blanche means free to act however you want. It's not that at all. You can't just do whatever you want with the power of heaven. The authority it flows in connection to what's already done in heaven. So that's going back to that prayer, going back to seeing what is already done in heaven, and then being able to step out and speak whatever it is that you want to declare. You know, and we get it reversed. We just want to declare. We just want to, in the name of Jesus, invoke. I'm not going to go there. If we're going to do something in the name of Jesus, it had better be in how Jesus would do it. It had better be in his love. It had better be the way that he would do it. Okay? So Ephesians 1:19-20 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. So we've received this same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's a heavenly power, and we're able to do what he did if we are doing it the way and in the way that he would do it. So you guys can go to slide 5, and we want to, if I'm going to do it in the way Christ did it, I need to know his purpose, and the Spirit is going to reveal his purpose and timing. And so the interesting thing about this little passage, Peter had this great revelation of who God was. And then, you know, and Jesus starts speaking into Peter's life about who Peter would be and the power that he would have. But then verse 20, then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Matthew 16, verse 20. And then verse 21 says, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed. But on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Matthew 16, 21. So as we're pursuing our intimate knowledge of God, the Father, and he begins to reveal things to us. We start seeing things in the Spirit. We start seeing what it is he's called me to do. We start seeing the places that he may want me to go. You have to discern whether or not he wants you to share what he has shown you. And you have to discern when to share it and with whom to share it. And especially for parents, when you start seeing things about your children, you know, you still have to pray about whether to reveal those things to your children, whether the timing of revealing the things that you're seeing to your children. As a parent, really, we're just stewards of our kids for many, many years. But we hold a lot of influence. I mean, we hold the greatest influence over our kids. But we want our children to develop their own ability to hear from the Lord. And we don't want them to just hear what we've heard from the Lord. Like, I don't want my daughters just to rely on me hearing from God. I want them to have a relationship and hear from God for themselves. And so, when to reveal what God's shown you, how to, you know, what God has shown you as a parent. And then that means for those of you who are children or you're still in your parents' home, you know, start practicing hearing from the Spirit, like now, right now, today. No matter your age, Preston is 7. He can hear from God as a 7-year-old. If he has believed on Christ, God has a purpose, has a calling on him, he can hear from God. I remember Carolyn, Jessica, Rachel, maybe watching, when I was home with them, I mean, we would have our little morning prayer, and then after the prayer, I would ask them, what is the Lord saying to you? because I wanted to hear what they heard from God. I wanted them to know what it sounded like to hear God for themselves. And so I would ask them, well, what do you hear God saying? And so start, children, hearing from God at home. You need to start hearing before you have to make a major decision, like, oh, I'm graduating next week. Where am I going to school? Like, you can't wait. You can't wait until you have to make a major decision to start hearing from God. Like, start today. Just start right now hearing from God. And for children, it's okay to share what you hear from God with your parents. But once again, I caution you to be careful about sharing everything with your friends and even your siblings. And I put a little hashtag, because that's the world we live in, hashtag Joseph the Dreamer. You know, he had a dream, and he's like, woo, I had this dream. And he's excited, and he goes, and he tells his brothers, and you guys know the story in Genesis. And siblings and friends, they don't have the same kind of love nor the same kind of responsibility as your parents. Your friends and even your siblings may be at different maturity levels. They may not be able to discern what God is doing in your life. And that's just the honest truth. And I mean, Damon and I, we were blessed. I mean, we came to UT. We got some genuine good friends. But we still have to hear from God for ourselves. And we still have to hold things until God kind of tells us, okay, yes, you can share this. Or this is what God may be leading us, but I mean, we can't always just right away share it, you know? Back to what Jesus told Peter, don't tell anybody I'm the Messiah. And then he just started telling them more what was going to happen. I'm going to go to the cross, and I don't even know if he told them it was a cross. He was like, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be raised again. I put a note here, parents. You may not understand everything that God wants to do in your children. And that's just the truth. We just don't always know everything. And I put a hashtag, Joseph and Mary. They had a child. They really did not, when Jesus walked on the earth, know. Yeah, what is all of this, right? They just didn't know all of what was going on in the life of their son, Jesus. They didn't know. But as a parent, we can listen to God. We can pray for them. We can keep things in our heart. I love that when Mary would just, she would hear, she would get something from the angel, and she, you know, or she went to church and hear these words, and she would just keep them in her heart, right? She didn't just discount them, but she just held on to them in her heart. That's what we need to do for our children. But Peter, this is Matthew 16:22. But Peter took Jesus aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Matthew 16:22. I just love Peter because the Lord told him that he could forbid, right? The Lord just told him, what you forbid is what's already forbidden. So he's like, oh, forbid, you're not going to die. In this case, Peter doesn't understand that it's already been done in heaven. Once again, we forbid what's already done in heaven, or we permit what's already permitted in heaven. And what Jesus shared about his going to the cross, about his dying, that was already permitted in heaven. That was already done. It was done. And it was for our sake. It was a redemption for our sake. Okay, so you can go to the next slide. So that brings us to knowing his view. I like this picture. It's a camera lens, I believe. And it's like we kind of have a fuzzy view. And we need a focus, right? We need to get in focus. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me." Let me finish. "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." I'm trying to think of how I would feel as Peter to be called Satan. But I think that Jesus had to do that for himself. And we have to do that for ourselves because he tries to get us off course, right? And sometimes people who love us, people who are close to us, they get in our ear, and that could get us off focus. So he said that for him. He said, "Get behind me, Satan," for himself, although Peter heard it, right? And then he told him, you know, "You're seeing things from a human perspective." And I just, you know, our perspective on things is not God's perspective always. Because, once again, I said earlier, he sees much further down the road. He sees all the roads. He knows which roads are dead ends. You know, and when it comes to revelation knowledge, if we're still on this earth, all of us are here on this earth, we only see in part. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now on this side is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely." And I like this verse because you guys know my mom is in heaven. And when we were on the earth, we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And I'm like, finally, like she sees more than I do. Like she knows more than I do because she's on the other side of this world. So Ephesians 1, 21. "Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come." And let's not forget that there is a world to come. Let's not forget that Christ is returning, right? And we have our job right now is to bring people into the kingdom and to be attractive so that they can find the knowledge of God, I mean, so that God can reveal himself to them, right? Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. So go to slide 7. So we're going to know his place. The Spirit will reveal his place, and he's going to reveal also our place. And it says in Ephesians 1, 22, "God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself." And this is God's view. This is his view of Christ. This is his view of us. We're seated with him. I'm here in this building, and I'm standing, y'all are sitting, but we're all seated with Christ. Those of us who have accepted him, we're seated with him in heavenly places. His thoughts, his ways, this is from the Old Testament. His thoughts, his ways are higher than ours. That's under the Old Testament. But now we're seated with him. We're seated with him. And all things in heaven, they're available for us. They're available for us to use as he would use them here on the earth. All things are under the authority of Christ. He is the head over all things, and it's for our benefit. It's for our good. We are part of him. And he is the one who makes us full. He makes us complete. He fills everything, everywhere with himself. This is talking about Christ. So I say, let's enjoy the feast. But he fills everything. Let's enjoy the feast and let's invite others to the table to enjoy that feast as well. We are a blessed people. We are filled with wisdom. We are filled with revelation knowledge. We're equipped. You know, we have Christ on the inside of us, and we're equipped. We have heavenly power available to us. We have a purpose. We have a heavenly perspective. When we go into prayer, we can see God can reveal that heavenly perspective. And we're going into those places that he's called us to occupy. He said, occupy till I come. And sometimes the way he wants us to occupy may not look like the way the world defines occupy. But sometimes just your presence in a place is you occupying that place. Just you being in that place, you are the spiritual authority in that place, especially if you have revelation knowledge. If you're receiving revelation knowledge from God, you are the authority in wherever you are. So, anyway, that's all I have.
Praise God. Good word. Good word. The Spirit of God, his job is to reveal Jesus, to reveal the Christ. He reveals him to us and through us. Excellent. Excellent teaching. Excellent teaching. That was a lot. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the time that we've heard your word, that we've listened to your heartbeat, Father God, and that we have gleaned from your perspective. Father, I thank you that the word that we've heard today is life, and it is spirit to us and through us and to everyone that we come in contact with. Now we are even more equipped. As Brother Damon said this morning that Or our brother Demetrius said that we have more knowledge now than we did when we got here. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that we have grown having sat in your presence and having heard your word. Father, I just thank you, and I seal that word with the Holy Spirit in each one of our hearts, that it changes our lives, that it takes root, and that it grows and produces much fruit. And I thank you, Father, that we are changed. We are changed as we exalt Jesus, the Savior of the world. And we turn our hearts toward you and we receive all that you have for us. Thank you, Father God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me and let's just bless the Lord for a few minutes. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, mighty God. We praise you, mighty God. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you in this place. We exalt you in this place, Father God. And we exalt you in our heart as we praise you, as we glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kia rabasuto redeki sitere mesha nondore bedisitere casa. Serre la barupa taraka shando reki sindele mando rosso rabarabadi. Ele bola caria serra basuto de casanda ramasuture. Ah, glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We exalt you, Father. We exalt you. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. You are our help. You are our peace. You're our joy. You are everything that we have need of. And we turn our hearts toward you. And we receive from you this day your life, your love, your spirit. glory to your name. I call you the blessed of the Lord. I say that because you are the children of the Most High God. You are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace. And that no weapon formed against you prospers. That every tongue that would rise against you in judgment or in soulish prayer or even in a wrong opinion, that is unfruitful, does not affect your life. You are surrounded with God's favor. You are surrounded with God's life. And everywhere you go, you are the representative and the ambassador of God Himself. And you have the tools of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom, to bind and loose and to change the situations around you with the Word of God. And that you are a sweet aroma to the world of God's presence. And that everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because He is in you. And you can do all things through Him who equips you with His divine ability. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are blessed. And you are loved greatly. Fellowship a little bit. You're dismissed. Go with God.